Made it to the final service. And like we heard this morning, we're going to face some things. All the ground we've gained at the altar, all the lessons we've learned through the preached word, through the song, through the testimonies, we're going to go through some things. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the privilege to come before you in prayer, Lord. Lord, as the song was sung, Lord, give your word success. We're looking to hear from you and only you, dear Father. We ask that you would bless in this hour, dear Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, first, that song that was just sung, are we truly thankful that he didn't call down from heaven's angels, come down and take him off that cross and to really would eradicate the work? Are we really thankful for what he did for us? Somebody asked me a couple of days ago, would I have been like Peter when Peter cut the man's ear off as they were trying to take hold of Jesus? I told him, as much as I'd like to, we know that what was done had to have been done. So we're definitely thankful for the Lord for his sacrifice. We're going to talk about running the race this afternoon. Many times in the scripture, there's many places, especially where Paul writes, he uses some analogies to sports. And as we are running this Christian race, we have to be careful to make sure we are running properly. When I was in high school, I ran cross country. So it was a long distance sport. And it is not a sport that you can just get out there and just really just run freely, run wild. But there was a process to how we ran and a lot of effort in how we ran. So there's a few scriptures I have. One we'll find in Luke, the 13th chapter, verse 24, and then 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Luke 13 and 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. For us to enter in as we're running this Christian race, it's going to take some effort. He tells us to strive to enter in at the straight gate. So we have to make sure that as we are running in this life, we don't let anything, any obstacle that gets in our way hinder us. Yes. Have put forth a concerted effort. Now, where Paul talks over in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, we'll read through 26. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So here there is some alluding to the Olympic type races or things, the games that they played back in those times. And so here he's telling them that, one, they're all running, they're putting forth an effort to run, but only one is going to win the crown. There's a difference in what they're running for versus what we're running for. What we're running for, no matter what, if we're running the race the way the Lord requires of us, we'll all gain the crown. Not just one. There's not going to be one of us that are going to be able to have a first place crown. There's not going to be a, you've seen sometimes in Olympics where they'll have the staircase type deal, and they'll have one here, and the center person is raised higher, and the person off to the other side is slightly lower than the person in the center, but also higher than the one on the other side. But in this race that we're running to obtain a crown of life, it won't be that way. But when we look at what they were running for, there was an effort that they had to place into the race that they were running. This is what Adam Clark has to say. Do you wish to gain the prize at the Olympic Games? Consider the requisite preparation and the consequences. These are what was part of the requirements for those two as they were training and building up to run this race. You must observe a strict regimen, must live on foods which you dislike, must abstain from all delicacies, must exercise yourself at the necessary and prescribed times, both in heat and in cold. You must drink nothing cooling, take no wine as formerly. In a word, you must put yourself under the direction of the publicist, sorry, I can't say that word, as you would under those of a physician, and afterwards enter the list. Here you may get your arm broken, your foot put out of joint, be obliged to swallow mouthfuls of dirt, to receive many stripes, and after all, be conquered. Thus we find that these suffered much hardships in order to conquer, and yet were uncertain of the victory. They had a very stringent rules or guidelines that had to be followed in order to run in this race. When I was running cross country, I had to go through some of these things. I remember running a particular race. We were at Woodward Park, and there is a sandbank along the where the park kind of lines up with the, what's that, the 168 freeway. And as we were running, I remember dirt getting kicked up in the air. And most know I have super bad allergies, so most of the year I can't breathe through my nose anyway. So as I was running, my mouth was open. Dirt is getting kicked in my direction and is going in my mouth. And if you're not properly training, you're not drinking water like you should, sometimes your saliva starts getting hard to spit and it starts getting sticky. And so dirt's flying in my mouth and I'm getting caught up. I can't spit the stuff out. And I was really in a bad place. But yet, I kept running because I had a goal. You know, in life, we're going to go through some things. There are going to be some things that are going to get kicked up at us. There are going to be some things that look like it's just really weighing down on us. It's defeating us. But we have a goal that we're striving for. And no matter what type of terrain we're going through, no matter what type of terrain we're having to overcome, no matter what hurdles are in the way as we run this race, if we would continue striving, if we will continue fighting, we're going to gain a crown.
Yeah.
And it'll all be worth it.
Yes.
But we have to keep fighting. We have to keep striving.
Amen.
So, what are you drinking? Here, told them, you don't drink anything cooling, don't drink any alcohol. We need water.
Yes.
And when I was running cross country, that was a common drink. That was the most drink. It's better than any Gatorade. It's better than any, I don't think Under Armour was a, I don't know that it was around when I was in high school. It's seeming to be becoming popular now. But propel water, it's better, straight water is better for the body.
Yes.
Than those other drinks. It does not come close to the nutrients that we get or the energy that we get from that. In the Bible, when it's talked about water, what is he talking about? The Holy Spirit We're in need of water as we run this race. We're in need of the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome whatever trials, whatever hurdles we're faced with. And if we're not drinking from that stream, we're going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be dehydrated. We're not going to be able to continue the fight if we don't have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
What are we eating? Eating is a very important role in running as well. Regardless of if 15-year-old DeMar didn't want to listen to his coaches and what he was supposed to eat, there were times when you don't eat, you pay the price for it. Well, Jesus said in his word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what are we eating? As we're running this race, are we drinking from the Holy Spirit, and are we eating the word of God? There are, as we're running, we need these things. We need the word. It is for our encouragement. It is for our correction. It is for our reproof. It is to help us as we're training, as we're going along in this race. These are things that we need to pay attention to. When we start to lack, when we start to set those things aside, start to get kind of lazy in those things, that's when we start to suffer. When I was running, I remember plenty of times, one thing they tell us, exercise. You have to stretch. You have to stretch out those muscles. You have to do this, that, and the other. You didn't do it, you got some of the worst leg cramps you'd ever experience. But our coaches told us that. And if I chose not to do it, whose fault is that? It's my own fault. What can we equate exercise to? Prayer. Are we spending time praying? These are all tools that we're going to need as we are running this Christian race. We need to make sure we're giving time and spending time with the Holy Spirit. You know what? When I was running, we would, if we had an actual race, not just in practice, but when we would run a race, we'd get there, you get there a few hours before the race. And as a team, you would walk the course. You get to see what's on the course, what does the terrain look like. There were some, when we ran here at Woodward Park, you'd run along, there's a grass area, you would start off there, eventually you end up in the roadway, and then eventually you'd end up on the sandbank, eventually you'd end up, there's this big hill in the back where I think it's called Disc Golf is played. We call it Killer Hill, that's what it was called in the cross-country world, because this is such a huge hill, and you'd run up it, and you'd run through it, and all around it, but we would walk our course. Now, I'd been running at Woodward Park for at least two seasons. Each time we went to Woodward Park, we still walked our course to see what were we going to encounter along the way. You know, if we're having the Holy Spirit, he's going to help us,
yes,
to show us what we're coming upon as we're running this race. And not only is he going to help us and show us, he's going to give us the grace, the skills, to be able to run on that type of terrain. But if we neglect to drink that water, if we neglect the leadings, the dealings of the Holy Spirit, there is no one to blame but oneself. Are we eating the word? That's another important thing. You know, they have the saying, you are what you eat. Some of us had Brother Tim's cake today. Very delicious. Very. But if I chose to eat that and only that, for the rest of my life, what would happen? What would be the outcome? Somebody said diabetes. That definitely gonna be something you have. There's gonna be a lot of things. Your health is going to fail. You're going to be struggling. You know, you are, they say you are what you eat. And if you choose to just eat junk food, let's bring it closer. If you choose just to indulge yourselves in just the things of life and forsake eating what's necessary, the fruits will yield will be about your own. But yet he's given us, this is what you need to do. Read my word. It says in 2 Timothy, I believe it is, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God. There's some study. Brother Donnie has mentioned a few times in this meeting that it's not just, we're not just trying to open up the Bible and just read two verses and then go on about our day. We're not just trying to maybe open up and just maybe we read a whole chapter. But he said there are some times where you're going to have to sit down and you're going to have to study. You're going to have to pull from the word of God, get some definitions of some words that, you know, there are times that a word might be used in one way and you might know the definition. But in this aspect, how is this word being used? Is it the same? Or are we just glossing over that word? This morning, had two examples. Two people said, oh yeah, I didn't quite know what a tear is. I needed to know. So what I looked it up. And then when you got the definition, it brought it closer. Okay, now I know what we're dealing with. I know what we're talking about specifically here. We have to study. We have to eat his word. And if we're choosing just to, it's like the table is spread. There's a big old table spread out. All the foods you could get, everything you want, it's spread out right here. But if we neglect it, if we choose to overlook studying, when we get down to the end of this race, and we come face to face with God and we say, well, Lord, I didn't know that that was a requirement. Lord, I didn't know that that was in there. Well, did you read your Bible? Yes, Lord, every Sunday when the preacher called off a scripture, I opened it and read it. Every time I got a scripture of the day notification on my phone, I read it. So what do you mean that I read it? I just didn't know it was there. You know, there have been times where I've read something and I've read a story and maybe go back and you pick up something different. Oh, I didn't catch a hold of that time. Oh, let me think on this. Go back. There's some stories that I've read in the Bible. Some of my favorite stories, read them over and over and over and over again. But you know what? It doesn't get boring. The Lord still can pull something out that will help you as you're running this race. Yes. How bad do we want to go to heaven? How bad do we want the crown? If we want it, if we truly want it, we'll give ourselves over to doing everything we can to make sure we're running this race. Amen. The enemy's going to be on us all this next week. Haven't we had it before? Come out of a good meeting. The Lord richly blessed. I gained victory. I gained ground at that altar. The messages that went forth were just for me. And Monday comes. Yes. And it's like a brick wall. You know what? Brother Donnie mentioned it this morning. He don't have to wait till Monday. On our way home tonight. Some of us have a 3-4 hour drive home. We could be faced with some things on that ride home. Some of y'all have a 10-minute ride home. You could still face something there. I told you all the other day what I was faced with on Friday. Came out of a good 2 days of the meeting. Heard some good messages. Ate some real good food.
and went, and I had to deal with what I had to deal with at work. And if I wasn't prepared, if we're not prepared for the work week, if we're not prepared for when we're headed home, if we just, I know I quote this scripture because it is one of my favorites. The enemy as a roaring lion. He knows we're coming out of this good meeting. He's going to see it. Well, that ground is freshly dug. Let's see if I could really, you know, ruin it. Let's see what I can do with this. Because watching, they're not paying attention. They're just going about their business. But no, as we're running this race, we got to pay attention. We have an enemy, an adversary. One of the things you have to face when you're running, especially at Woodward Park, gopher holes. You don't think it's a problem, you get out there, start running 3 miles and step in one, twist your ankle. Yes. We have to be watchful and careful. Even about when running, areas where you got loose sand, loose dirt, you don't want to run there either. You think we have to be watchful.
Amen.
We have to be careful. How is your stamina? Stamina is an important role in running. Stamina is the ability to sustain prolonged physical or mental effort.
Yeah.
You know, it does a runner no good at all to get out there and just hit the ground running super fast. In all races, excuse me, it was 3 miles in one race. I had to pace yourself. How am I going to get this 3 miles? Especially you walk the trail, you see what you're doing. So you get out there and you just hit the ground running. You're not paying attention. You're just exerting all your energy. And then mile two comes, and now you're dead. You're just trying to make it this mile. And you get to third mile, realize, oh, Lord, there's another mile to go. How's your stamina? Again, what gives us stamina? Our prayer life. Are we seeking the Lord to help us, to give us the energy? There's a song that's sung, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Yeah.
Realizing that I cannot run this race, Lord,
yeah,
without you. I think Brother Matthews wrote, help me run this race. Lord, I need you to possess my mind.
Yes.
Because I can't think straight on my own as I'm going this way. I need your help. I need your grace. So how's your prayer life? These are all things that are going to help us as we're running this race. Hebrews 12:1-2. And I pray, this is an encouragement. As we come out of this meeting, because again, we have a goal. And I don't want it to sound like we're, you know, it can be, you start hearing, well, I gotta exercise, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. It can be a little discouraging when you start hearing of all the things that we have to do as we run. But remember the reward. What are we running for?
Yes.
Again, as it was mentioned earlier, we're not just running just because we want to go to heaven. Although we do want to go to heaven, we're running because there is one who was willing to condescend to a fallen world. One who was willing to leave the splendor of glory, to come down here, to be treated brutally by his own creation. Bore stripes. His blood was spilled. The sacrifice that he gave for us on the cross. I owe my life to him to run the race perfect the way he's designed for me to run it. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Tells you right there. This is what he did for us. Gave his life. If somebody gives their life for you, don't you think you try to give it in return? He gave up this great sacrifice. If somebody came in here and gave you $1 million, wouldn't you feel some type of gratitude for them? I don't know about y'all, but I can use $1 million. But wouldn't you feel some type of joy and some thanksgiving for that sacrifice that he just gave me $1 million? The Lord gave something way more important than monetary gains. He gave his life. So we have to run this race with patience. It's easy to start running and just think, oh, I just want to get this over with. And then you realize how long it is and start getting discouraged, start to fall by the wayside, start to realize this race ain't worth it. It takes too long to get through it. It has some effort to take place. Talking with someone the other day and told me, I didn't realize that it took all of this to be approved. I don't want this. I can't do this. I'm going to just give it up because if that's what this takes, my reward is too far away. Is that all we're doing it for? But even still, patience.
Yeah.
Learning to run just steady. When you start trying to run faster than you can, than your abilities, you can start tripping over your own feet. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, face planted. And now we got a whole nother issue. The Lord is not requiring any of us to run our race as fast as our brother or sister. Cross country is an individual race. Brother Paul, I believe, ran track as well. And in the relay, it's a team effort. It's not just you running out there by yourself. There's a point where you're standing there, you're waiting for your teammate to come along and hand you the baton, and you pop off and start going to the next person. And collectively, you all have won whatever prize you get from that. Whereas cross country, there is a team portion of it, which is built by how many of y'all came in at a certain pace in the race, but overall, it is an individual race, much like this Christian race. You see, some people, they finish their race early. There are some that go home to be with the Lord in their 20s. Their race is finished. If they followed after God, and that was just how long their race was, there's no need for them to stay around. It's time for them to go. There are some, Sister Foster lived 90 years. There are some lived 80 plus years. That's how long their race was. And they had to patiently wait that entire time. Not get discouraged. Not get defeated. As we're running this race, it's so easy to think, Lord, they've been saying the Lord is coming back since I was a kid. And you see in the Bible, they were saying it way back then. Jesus died over 2,000 years ago, and the apostles in Acts were talking about he's coming back. Now, this is taking forever. We can really start getting impatient about things that, one, we have no control over. But what do you tell us to do? Run our race with patience. As we're running, to look unto him. Don't take your eyes off the prize. Don't take your eyes off of the goal. Because the minute you do, you fail. I was running a race one time, and if you haven't noticed, to help with this, I probably will talk about my experiences with running a bit. I was running a race one time, and as we were walking, usually I believe the rule was the first 20 got the medal. So first the 20th place, whoever the 20th runner. And I remember running this particular race one time, and I was excited. You start trying to count to see how many people are ahead of you. Okay, there's, oh, I'm number 16. I'm gonna get me a medal today. Get to running and thinking, I don't need to go any faster. I'm good. I'm gonna get my medal. That person in front of me is gonna get the 15th place. I could reach out and touch him. I don't care about that. I'm gonna get my medal. Got to the end of the race, went over, held my hand out for my medal. What do you want? I came in 16th place. Oh, this race was 15th. Whose fault was that? It would have been so easy to blame my coach because, well, you didn't tell us this time the rules changed, that they were only. But running with patience means focusing on yourself, not looking off to the side, not looking to the left, but looking at how other people are doing in their race. Yeah. We can get distracted in our own race. We can become comfortable. Scripture says to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We can start looking at somebody else's salvation and think, oh, that looks good. I can live that one. It's a lot easier. Get to the end of the race. Oh, Lord, that was not the way that I was to run my race. We have to be careful. What are you drinking? What are you eating? Are you spending time seeking the Lord as you're running your race? Is he helping you train as you're going along the race? There's a lot of training that's involved in running. When I ran cross country, the races were generally 3 miles. I remember one day running 12 miles. Wondering, why in the world am I doing this? And my coach was sitting off to the side of us, yelling at us, keep going, no walking. And I remember thinking, it's easy for you to say that on a bicycle. But there was extra effort that we put into our running, our practices. 12 miles for a 3-mile race. We're going to have to spend time outside of the trials, because it's real easy when we're under the trials and we're really battling Satan to want to just pick up your Bible and try to sling it left and right to destroy him. But there's times outside of the trials that the enemy would send our way that we have to spend in reading. Times outside of the time when the enemy is coming our way that we have to spend in prayer, in fasting, because I want to make it to heaven. Because when this trial comes, when this race comes, I want to be prepared. But if we spend our time just sitting around, not doing anything and not preparing in any sort of way, when we get down to the end, when we get down to the time when it matters the most, we're not going to make it. The enemy has found us, what did we hear the other day? Sleeping. Lord, help us as we're running this race to be prepared, to be suitable. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11, 22. Second Corinthians 11 and 22. This is Paul speaking here. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In death, all. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh up upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul is speaking about his experiences that he went through as he was running his race. But yet he did not let those trials, he did not let those hardship, those hurdles cause him to just throw his hands up and say, you know what? This race is too hard. This race is too difficult. I cannot keep going. You know, he also tells us not to compare ourselves among ourselves. But can we take a time to look at the trials that we've gone through in life and compare them to what Paul has described here? Do they compare? Do you find if you line them up, you went through way more and you can just say, you know what? That brother suffered. You'll go ahead and throw in the towel then. Look at all Paul went through. And yet he kept running the race. It doesn't matter what hurdles we're going to come through. Doesn't matter what trials. Keep running.
Amen.
Don't give up. Don't quit. Fight on. I remember we were at a race, it's called the Frogtown Invitational, and there was a female, fellow athlete, I guess you'd call it, she was running, her name was Liliana, and I remember it was the girls' time, and they were running their 3 miles, and somewhere on the, there was this really tall hill that they were coming down. She stepped on a nice big rock and she tripped and she rolled down the hill, hitting everything on the way down. She was in a very, very, very bad way, but she got up and she kept running. She was hopping along. She was in bed. We had to take her straight to medical after that, but she wanted to finish the race. She had been one that was not the best runner. She was very slow, but she was not running. Some people run because, you know, they're fast and they want to get all the accolades and the rewards. And then there are some that had teammates that were just doing it because they wanted to better themselves. They wanted to accomplish something. The race was really against themselves. Can I do better? Some people were out there because, well, I weigh so much. I'm trying to get more active and be more healthy. She wasn't heavy. But she was a slow runner. But she had made up in her mind, I'm going to run this race. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to do all that I can. That's what we have to do.
Yeah.
As we're running, Paul went through so much. Despised by his own countrymen, his own people, his own kinfolk. Beaten, imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. When the Lord first converted him, what did it say? There were some that didn't want to be around him because of what he was known for doing. But did he let that destroy his
fervor for the Lord? Did he let that hinder his race? Scripture says, thou art inexcusable, old man. Because I know it won't be this way, but just entertain me a little. If Paul were standing there at the gate to let us in, and he started asking, well, what happened? And you start coming up with some excuses, I can hear. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 12. List everything. Yet he kept running. It takes a determined spirit to keep running. Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18. If you have it before me, go ahead. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What we're going through now, the tests and trials along the way, the hurdles of this race do not compare to what we're going to receive. It does not compare to the crown of life that we're going to get. They are very minor. They don't measure up in any way, shape, or form. So in other words, keep fighting.
Yes.
Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give in. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the scripture says the Holy Spirit will lift up a standard against him. As we're running this race, if we're drinking and eating the right things that we're supposed to, if we're spending time with the Holy Spirit, if we're spending time with the Lord, if we're spending time and reading his word, we're going to have a glorious end. We're going to have a wonderful victory at the end of this race. But keep fighting. This week when the enemy comes in, at work, when you're faced with those trials, keep fighting. If you're at school and somebody, oh, you're going through something at school, keep fighting. When you're dealing with your family and those whatever problems, or you're dealing with the bill collectors or whatever you're going to face this week, no ground. We're giving up no ground. We're not going backwards. We're going to keep running. We're going to keep striving. We're only going to go forward. There is no point in running a race if you're going to go backwards. Don't go backwards. We've heard that saying that if you can't run, then you walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, have to do to keep going forward, because there is a reward at the end of this life. There is a reward that is so much worth it. What are you going to face this week? Yeah, you're right. We don't know. But if you keep fighting, if you keep going, if you keep warring against the enemy, when we get to the end of life's way to hear those blessed words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And when we cross over into heaven, we're not going to have to deal with Satan any longer. That's the best thing right there. I'm not going to have to fight against him any longer. He is not going to be able to throw any more hurdles in my way as I'm running this race. We don't have to deal with him. That's the best thing. Some people say, well, we'll do no more bills. No more Satan. That's what I look forward to. I ain't going to have to fight him no more. We've won the victory. And then we'll get to sit back and we'll watch. The scripture teaches that the hell will be cast into the lake of fire. I want to be on that side that's watching it get cast in there. Bye-bye, Satan. I don't have to deal with you any longer. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? Don't we look forward to that? I know I can't wait for that day. No more. Now, no more bills. No more house notes. No more rent. No more car notes. I'll be able to fly all over heaven. Be sitting at the feet of Jesus. Nothing in this life, no trial, can compare to come close, to give us an excuse
to default on our race. How determined are you? Are you determined? I've been quoted most of it, but let's still turn over to 2 Timothy. This is what we long to hear. We hear it read it in here, 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Are we looking forward to that day? When we receive that crown, over there in 1 Corinthians, we mentioned how the crown was a corruptible crown, meaning it was going to wither away. The writer says the crown won by the victor of the Olympians games was made of the wild olives. In the, I cannot say this word, Phythian game, it was of laurels. In the Nemean games, of parsley. In the, another word I can't pronounce, it was made of the pines. These were all corruptible, for they began to wither as soon as they were separated from the trees or plucked out of the earth. But this crown that we are striving for, the crown we're going to get at the end of this way, because we have stayed steady as we went, because we have not yielded to the enemy, because we have not been overcome by the hurdles that we've had to run. The crown that we're going to get at the end of this race, it is not going to fade away. It's not going to wither away. It's a value. It's a value. It's not fake. With Brother Donnie the other day talked about, you take the gem and you set fire near it and it starts to melt or whatever. They ain't going to do that with this crown. When we get to the end of life, way. But he said, I finished my course. I kept the faith. I didn't give up along the way. I didn't give in along the way. I continued to fight. And yes, there were hard times. Yes, there were times where the weather might have had its effect on the terrain that you're running. There are times where maybe it feels like I'm running through some mud. Keep running. There are times where it feels like there are just so many things that I have to dodge along this way. The enemy of our souls and his fiery darts are flying left and right. Keep running, because it will all be worth it when we get to the end of life's way. We're running and we're going to obtain a crown of life. It's going to be worth it. So again, whatever we face this week, don't give up.
Amen.
Don't give in. Don't let the enemy try to take back whatever victory we've gained in this meeting. It's been a wonderful meeting. Been fed by good, sound gospel. Heard the wonderful songs of Zion. We've been fed this week. The enemy's going to come. He's going to try to snatch some stuff. Oh, no. I'm running for my life.
Yes.
What did they say in Pilgrim's Progress?
Life.
Put his hands in his ears and he said, life, life, eternal life. That's what we have to remember as we're running. That's what I want. Life, life, eternal life. I'm not going to give in to the wiles of the enemy. Yes, he has many tricks. Yes, he has many different things in his artillery that would like to cause us to waver. Eat the book. That's what John the Revelator said. That's what the prophet said in the Old Testament. Eat the book. Eat the word of God. Spend time with it as we're running. Spend time with his Holy Spirit. Keep running. Keep fighting. You know, at the end of that race for Liliana, it went like this. As she was hobbling down, some of her female partners came off to the side and helped her finish. They grabbed her, and some of us guys, we were off to the sides of the track. We were cheering her on because we wanted her to make it. There's a song. Sister Mary McDonald often sings it. Read verse 2 and verse 3. It says, there's a mansion being built for me somewhere in glory land. And this ladder that I'm climbing is a part of the plan. I can hear the angels beckoning. Keep climbing. Don't stop. There's a crown of life awaiting for you when you reach the top. Come on, ye Christian soldiers. Show the world your light can shine. Get on this gospel ladder and don't be afraid to climb. Can't you hear the angels cheering? Soon the battle will be over. And we'll celebrate the victory when we reach the other shore. Praise God. All of heaven is there cheering for us. Keep going. Keep fighting. Don't give in. You know, we mentioned earlier about some people might have said, well, we've been waiting for you. Oh, we knew you were coming. Our loved ones. Some of us might have gotten saved after they passed on, but they're still waiting. They were praying for us. Lord, help them. We want them to get saved. And they've gone off onto the scene. But don't you know what joy it will be when they get. They made it. Praise God. You know, all of heaven is cheering for us. Don't give in. Don't give up. You know who else is cheering for you? Those of us that are right here with you. Amen. Because we're also going through battles. We're also facing things in life. But we need each other, brethren. I need you to make it to heaven just as much as I need me to make it to heaven. We're here to encourage each other. Yeah. Don't give up. Let's go into next week defeating Satan yet again. Let's go throughout the remainder of 2021 defeating Satan again, no matter what we have to face this year. We've gone through COVID, and it's been a trial for many. It's been something that has not been comfortable for us to deal with. And, you know, we're trapped at home, and some people are having to face the enemy even more because he's trying to bring on thoughts of depression. He's trying to bring on don't give in to what the enemy of our souls is trying to get us to give in to. Keep fighting. Keep running. Because we have a goal. There's a song that says, I want us to be in heaven together. I don't want anybody left behind. We sung that the gospel chariot, oh, will pick up my brother, pick up my sister. My desire is to see each one in heaven. If I don't get to see anyone down here anymore, to see each other in heaven. What a day that will be. It'll all be worth it. Song says, we'll understand it by and by. When we get to the end of life's way, we might start understanding what this trial was about. We might start to understand by that time, we might not even care. Keep fighting. Keep running. Are you needing help? Lean on our brothers and our sisters. We'll help you. We'll help you as much as we can to help you carry along. Wasn't it when they were the children of Israel, I think it was, were battling, and Aaron and Hur, I believe it was, held up the arms of Moses as they were fighting to help them to gain the victory. We're going to do our best to help hold you up. Keep fighting. Keep running. Keep warring against the enemy. The race is not given to the swift. Another one, I believe it's in James, said, for when he is, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. And if you keep going on, you'll get a crown of life. That's what we're running for. May the Lord help us to run a successful, steady race. Pray for me.
Amen.